This week on the Stuff Podcast Show, got a special guest co-hosting with me, Odin Abbott.
Hello there. I'm happy to be here.
All right. I'm so excited, guys. You have no idea. This week, we're going to be talking about a bunch of different things. We're going to be talking about Avengers Endgame. We're going to talk about social media. We're going to be talking about, you say PBS?
PBS, yeah. Talk about my life in PBS.
Yeah. So everybody's going to know what Odin makes and what he does when he's not making stuff. Right?
Right. Usually when I'm not making stuff, I'm sleeping.
There it is. All that and more on this week's episode of The Stuff Podcast Show. Welcome to The Stuff, the podcast where you and I literally talk about what else? Stuff. This is your comedic escapist podcast show, and I'm your host, Ian Walker. Now, let's go talk about some stuff. I am super excited. I'm super happy. If you guys can see me right now, if you guys aren't watching this on YouTube and you're watching it on all the other podcasts, you know, platforms, I'm smiling like an idiot right now. I'm smiling like a woman's in a room. You know?
Shut up.
I'm like, let's stop that. I mean, like, no, but.
No, actually, this is an awesome intro. Please continue.
Yeah. No, but I'm here with Odin Abbott. He is the host of the podcast. You should do a podcast.
I'm doing one right now. It's funny how often I do them.
Right? Yeah, right? But he's the host of the YouTube channel, Odin Makes. Cosplay prop designer and a very astute cameraman as
Thank
well.
You.
So
I try.
Yeah.
Been playing with this stuff for years.
Right. I mean, good night. Might as well. You do something with it, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, thank you very much for having me on. I enjoy doing the podcasts. I've been on a few of them now. A year ago, when I first met you, when we were doing a trial run for your podcast, you were one of the first.
Really?
But I've been on a few now, so it's a lot of fun.
Oh, I gave you the bug. Yeah.
Oh, you horrible person. Yeah. Infected.
Yeah. Podcasting is too cool because, you know, I was telling you before, I talk too much. I
that
got
helps.
Too much to say.
If you're going to be a podcast host, you got to talk.
Yeah.
Because all you have is audio, and if you're not talking, it's dead air, and the viewers are gone.
Exactly.
Or listeners.
Listeners are gone. Right, exactly. And, you know, I've been by myself with this, you know, podcast. I've been doing it for about 2.5-3 years.
All right.
So, you know, now it's time to evolve, change up. People get tired of hearing my voice, I'm sure, after a while. Like, man, you got any friends, Ian? You sit up in a room by yourself just there talking to yourself? Come on, what do you got? Bring some guests on. So, you know, I want to bring out some good guests, some quality guests, and definitely one of them I don't. So I'm super excited, man.
One of the first ideas I had for my YouTube channel was still to make props, but to have someone else come on. And instead of it being, because right now it's like a cooking show, literally you're watching it happen, like a cooking show. Everything would be done beforehand, still record it so I can reference it, but then talk to someone about how I did it. So it'd be me and someone else, and it'd be a back and forth asking questions and explaining and moving around and talking about how it was made. And that was my first idea. And I looked up some ideas for that, for names for that, found that a lot of the URLs I wanted were available. Then I thought, I'll just go ahead and do it as the cooking format. Then I don't have to have guests.
Right, exactly. But that'd be cool to do, like, you know, as like a special type of show.
Yeah.
Again, you and I both have Patreon pages, so I think that'd be neat to use for those who are your patrons.
Okay.
To have that aspect of the show just for them.
Okay.
Because, you know, usually a lot of those folks are going to be, you know, trying to make their own stuff or whatever.
Right.
But I think that'd be kind of neat. Some very unique content where they're seeing that and, you know, I don't know, might be a patron price. Hey, you get to come on my show and, you know, do that with me too. I mean, I don't know. I just got a Patreon page. I don't know what I'm talking about. Don't listen to me.
No, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I don't really have a lot of exclusive content for my patrons right now.
Right.
I was running some polls and a few other things that Patreon changed their terms and conditions from when I started to where I am now.
Right.
So if you look at some of my older videos and if you pull up, you know, on the Wayback Machine on the internet, the old versions of my site, if it's there, I haven't even looked.
Right.
I used to try to do a raffle type of thing.
Right.
Well, because of online gambling, that became online gambling like loot boxes and video games.
Right.
And terms and conditions changed, and I was going to lose my Patreon unless I just took it out pretty much immediately. Yeah. So I really had to just kind of rip it out of the site. And then I didn't know how to go about telling everybody who's been paying me for a chance to win that that's no longer an option. I am not allowed to do it. It's like getting a cease and desist from the courts.
Wait, so you can't say, crap, dude, because this is good for me.
Yeah,
I don't mess up. So you can't.
You can't do a sweepstakes or raffle type thing. If you're doing something on Patreon that's a reward, everybody has to be able to get it. So if it becomes an exclusive, only you can get this one thing, and only one lucky person is going to do it, that's gambling. They're paying for – it's like the lotto. They're paying for the chance to win.
I see.
And that's considered online gambling.
Okay.
But you put up here's an exclusive download that everybody who pays at the $2 level can have.
Right.
That's totally fine because that's an exclusive.
Because I can see that because in a sense you're paying for a service.
Yeah.
In essence, and
right.
There's no
or it's like the PBS model with what do you call it when we're doing the pledge drives. So
right.
You do a pledge of $5. Oh, here's your Doctor Who book, or your $10.
Right.
Bucks. Well, here's
right.
your here's your mug.
Right.
Yeah,
your 10 seasons of Home on the Range.
Home on the Range, Downton Abbey. Yes, exactly.
Or
10 seasons. Down
Little
Abbey.
House
That'd
on the Prairie.
Awesome.
Yeah,
yeah.
Man, they be selling those things in box sets, boy.
Oh,
I wonder
yeah.
how many they sell on those things.
They did pretty good.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. As a thing for you, I actually work for the local PBS station in Sacramento, KVIE.
Okay,
and so I have helped out doing some of the live pledge breaks. I'm usually a cameraman at that point, so I'm the guy
right.
with the headset on. Camera
yeah.
three. All right, I move over. Yeah, that's what I do.
Right.
But they've sent out a lot of stuff, and the stuff what works really well is basically BBC content is the bread and butter of
really
yeah of
so
the
Doctor Who stuff,
Doctor Who,
Sherlock,
Poldark, Downton Abbey, Call the Midwife, yeah
really
yeah that's the major stuff. That's what
you guys want to make a goal. That's the stuff you guys put out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, have you done those? Have you done that? Done a pledge drive? And they just had some janky stuff. You're just like, ain't nobody going to pledge for this. Like you sit behind the camera. You're like, bro, ain't nobody going to call for this.
Thankfully not at this point. They've been doing it for so long that,
yeah.
Which makes it sound bad. They've been doing it for so long. No, that's not what I mean. They've been doing it. They know what works. They know what doesn't work. And the stuff is geared towards what they know will work. Because it's a waste of time if it's not going to work.
Right.
You know, so they're doing concert tickets for the artist you're watching. It works.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It totally works.
Yeah. So if you want some Neil Diamond tickets, watch PBS.
Yeah, well, yeah. they've had other people too, but
yeah.
Yes.
Engelbert Humperdinck.
Humperdinck, Humperdinck. Ethan Bortnick. And there's been a lot of artists that come through.
Yeah.
Because anybody who comes through Sacramento usually will hook up with a radio station or the PBS station or someone
right.
else just to promote that they're here.
Really?
And so then there's this trade-off with, oh, well, can we get, you know, X number of tickets? 10, probably.
Oh, that makes sense.
And then those are done with a pledge drive, as long as it's close. As much fun as it is to poke at PBS and the stations for always doing a pledge drive,
right.
You really don't. It's done 1 week, 4 to 5 times a year.
Yeah.
So that's a tenth of the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So
if
it's not a
if
lot.
Even that much, they're getting it to where it becomes more of a little infomercial break. I don't want to say commercial because it's PBS. in between the programming, so
uh-huh.
it's no longer the block of the pledge-a-thons that, mm-hmm. that happened in the 80s. That doesn't happen anymore.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So the pledge drives, of course, are just what's needed to keep PBS going, right?
Right. Yeah, especially at the local level.
Right, okay. Yeah. So all that money when they're paying that's to keep PBS alive, keep it moving,
mm-hmm.
get everybody paid,
get everybody
whatever.
Paid, exactly. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely. It helps
that.
So much. And, yeah. and honestly, Patreon is effectively the same thing. There's a thing called a sustainer pledge within the PBS system
okay.
where you have someone and they pledge, sure, I'll give you $5 a month because I think PBS is awesome. And then
right.
it charges their account $5 every month.
Right.
And they get online exclusive. They get a thing called Passport where they can go see videos without having, you know, interruptions.
Uh-huh.
Patreon is the exact same thing. I'm going to pledge $1 a month to help support the Stuff podcast show.
Right.
And in return, I get exclusive videos I can't see anywhere else.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same thing. And it totally works.
That's why I should, you know what? That's why I should start running as many PBS. BBS.
BBS.
Brother Man Broadcast System.
it's TSS, the stuff, yeah. or the stuff podcast TSPS. Show. There's an extra that's, P. I can't spell. That's why I cut phone.
TSPUPA show.
Yeah, TSPUPA show.
To, you know how you try to make an acronym a full name? It's like, doesn't work.
I guess it'd be SPS, stuff SPS. Podcast show.
Oh, yeah. SPS.
Hello and welcome to SPS. Tonight, we're talking with Ian, who's actually the host.
Man, it sounds like something you put on your skin before you go out to set.
Yes.
This stuff has SPS 50.
Well, I've got SPS 80 on, and it's not helping me.
Right. Being in this hot sun. How long you been out here in Sacramento?
I've been in Sacramento going on 30 years.
Really?
I was actually born in the East Bay. I was born in the same city the Rock was, Hayward.
Really?
Yes.
That's cool. Now that's cool.
Yeah. Me and Dwayne were... He has no idea exists. It's perfect.
You know, it'd be funny if you guys lived on the same cul-de-sac but didn't even know.
It's actually possible. I think we were born really close to the same time to each other. But anyway, IMDb has got some wonderful little crazy nuggets of information. Right. But my dad has always had family out here in Sacramento. So I've been in Sacramento all my life off and on. And then in the 80s, I ended up moving out here, and I just never left.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cool. I'm from Monterey, so...
Hey,
born and raised.
That's awesome.
But I've been coming out here to Sacramento because I got friends that live out here. And, you know, the only downside I can say is that it's hot. And it's an allergy cesspool. And I do not do well with allergies. But
or hot.
Still, yeah, or hot. But it's still enough for me to be like, you know what? Still consider moving out. Because every time I come here, I really enjoy being out here.
Oh, cool.
It's
what's funny, as a kid, I hated it because it was always 2 hours to go out to frickin' Sacramento. So I can go be a good kid and sit in the other room at grandma's house and wait to go home so I go back to school. I hated Sacramento. I don't hate it anymore. But no, it is. It's totally hot. Sacramento's got a nice, good, hot, long summer. Yeah. It has a decent little kind of micro California winter. It never snows. It never gets all that cold.
Right.
But then there's about a good week of spring and about a good week of fall. That's about it.
That's funny. But you know what? This week, though, because I'm here for my, you know, with my day job, I'm doing training. And it has actually been really nice these last couple of days.
It has,
I've been here.
And like, it cools
it's
off
cool
at night.
In the morning. Yeah, it cools off at night.
Yeah.
Every other time I come here at night, it'd be like 80. I'm sitting here like looking around like, why is it so hot? I don't get it. It's blackout.
It's blackout. It
doesn't
be
make
cool.
sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's been really nice these past couple of days. I've been surprised. Is that, you know, all my shirts and everything I brought with me, all my clothes have been short sleeves and just, okay, it's going to be hot. Don't, you know.
Right.
Don't trip. Just prepared, you know.
Right. But yeah. I don't own a coat. I have a zip-up hoodie. That's the heaviest coat I own.
You don't need it out here.
I don't need it out here.
You really don't. It's ridiculous how hot it is out here. But so let me see. We were talking about something.
We were rambling about Patreon and PBS. And,
yeah.
And there may have been something before that. I don't remember.
Right. Well, no. So we just got done doing an interview, a video interview.
That was
you
us.
And everything. That was us.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah. That's going to be up on the YouTube page, guys. So look out for that.
Yes.
But we was talking about a bunch of stuff. I'm trying to think right now because I wanted to talk about it. And I stopped us because I was like, man, we're wasting content.
We made the fatal mistake. So having worked with other shows like Beyond Geek, which is specifically an interview show, right? Mm-hmm. So Beyond Geek, you go in, you talk to these people about what their extreme geekdom is.
Right.
And you want to find out what they're passionate about, what made them do it, and then ultimately the host jumps in and does it too. It's on Amazon. Go watch it. We learned very quickly. Yeah, you don't talk to them. There was a period of time when we were setting up in someone's house. The host sat in the car for 2 hours waiting, so he wouldn't come in and see that the person we're interviewing was a quadriplegic that had set up a computer system that walked a tablet around his house so he could still follow his wife and talk to her in the kitchen.
Really?
Yeah. But had to keep that safe, keep that away from poor Danny, who sat in the car. So he came in with a genuine reaction.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's neat. See, the secrets of showbiz.
Secrets of showbiz. Yes.
That's pretty cool.
It's either all rehearsed and fake, and you can tell, the poor hosts, you know.
You know, what's funny, rehearsed and fake, I was listening to this podcast where you talked about prank videos.
Right.
And how prank videos, they say nowadays, are so staged that you can tell as soon as they do them.
Well, they have to be. And there's one main reason prank videos have to be staged, or at least arranged.
Uh-huh.
Insurance. You pull off a prank video and actually scare somebody or do something to somebody who has a horrible reaction, and they had no idea, you are liable. You're hoes. They own the show.
Those are the best, though.
They are. That's why. That's why Japan's really good at them, because they got different rules. But
right, man, that would be the best. I mean, those are the best reactions, though, when it's raw.
Yeah. When it's raw. And that's also usually why there's a significant other that's in on it, because
right.
Then all right, we've got. You know, not, I shouldn't say we. I've never been part of one. Okay, now they've got permission to come in and do it. The closest was I worked with a company called Defy Media. They own Smosh, and they had another channel I started on called DIY Prop Shop. Uh-huh. The last DIY Prop Shop video, all four of the DIY Prop Shop hosts got together to do a separate show called Prank It Forward. And there was a guy who wrote an anti-bullying superhero book. He created his own superhero at 10.
Cool.
The guy's name now, both the author and the superhero. But as all the builders for DIY Prop Shop, we made his super suit for him.
Oh, like, cool.
I made the utility belt and his gloves, and Elizabeth and Hendo made the cape and the bodysuit, and
nice.
Vinny made his goggles. And so then Vinny had to meet up with the guy and give it to him. And he's like, you know, 13, 14 now. He's just a little older. But it was all arranged with his mom, so he would have no idea. And they set up cameras in a comic shop.
That's
it had to
really
be arranged.
Cool.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun to work on that one.
That's neat. That's always kind of cool, though, because obviously that's a kid's dreams coming true.
Yeah.
You know, pretty much. So to get that genuine reaction.
That genuine reaction. Right.
See how it makes you feel. You know, you feel good inside, you know, when you see all that stuff. That's I'm sure that was really
cool. It was a lot of fun, yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. So, anyways, so yeah, I'm trying to think right now. Maybe I should just stop this and do another segment.
That's fine. One of the nice things about recording and having the podcast, and this happens when we're doing stuff at PBS, nothing's live. You can always pause and actually make us sound intelligent.
There you go. Boom.
And welcome to part two of the Stuff Podcast Show.
You said part two.
You're going to cut it out anyway.
Probably. Like, we don't say that on the show, Odin. But like, no.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Fine. Then welcome to number two.
We'll just roll into it, man. What are you doing?
No. Fine. I'll roll with it.
So we were talking about you and your YouTubiness and how that is. I think it would be great to talk about how someone could maybe get into YouTube, how they could monetize, get sponsors, all of that stuff. Like, what was your path into getting into that? Because I know if there's some people that are listening right now,
right,
they could probably use,
some of that.
I could use some of this information.
Okay. All righty. Unfortunately, the one of the big things is it's who you know. And I'm really sorry to say that. I was working with a group called Smosh, right? They were, and still kind of are, because they're probably listening, right? A large YouTube group. They managed to get the reins back to their own show. They had lost control of their show for a number of years. And it got really kind of rocky for them. But they're in control again. So I got to see some of the insight on that. They did massive productions. You know, they have a 25-person crew shooting basically Saturday Night Live style content.
Wow.
And quality content. And you can look at that and go, there's no way the YouTube channel, just the Google AdSense money from YouTube, paid for lunch, let alone all these people's salary.
Right.
So it's all the sponsorships. And getting the sponsorships is kind of the golden ticket. And I've managed to start to get that myself. So how do you break into it? You just start doing it. And there really isn't a bigger secret to it than that.
Yeah.
I was lucky that I had the name with Smosh, and I had the name with DIY Prop Shop. So on my Odin Abbott YouTube channel, when that's all there was, because Google automatically gives you one. If you've got a Gmail, you've got a YouTube account.
Right.
I had 63 followers and zero content because of being parts of these other things.
Right.
So I changed that into being the Odin Makes channel. So those 63 automatically went over, and it became the first 63 for Odin Makes.
Right.
And I just started putting content up. And from January 2017, up until about March or so, I was putting up channels and excited that I got 19 views in a day.
Right.
You know, because that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it is a really slow start. And if you don't already have some small thing to start with, it's going to take even longer.
Right.
This was why I was excited and happy about hitting 100,000 subscribers in 11 months. because it was November, I hit 100,000.
That's
and
awesome.
You actually get a play button for that. You get a little silver play button. Yeah, and mine's upstairs. And I have one of the last of the original ones, which is in a little glass case, and it's a physical button because now it's like a printout.
Well, it's a printout now?
Kind of. It's still a good plaque, it's got kind of a burnished metal look. I haven't seen one in person.
Right.
But looking at it, it looks like it's printed and stuck to a product called Gator Foam, which is what you make a lot of signs out of. It's fairly thick, like foam core.
Okay.
May not be. It may be nicer than that, but that was my take on it because I was disappointed.
This sucks.
Yeah. I got 1 million views and they gave me this. It's foam. The big things is with the danger of sounding like imitating television, because that's not the point of YouTube.
Right.
Is the quality content, I think. Of course, this is also my focus. Actually have a light. We don't in here.
Right.
We have room lighting, and it kind of works, but if you look at the video, we're kind of dark. We're not lit. Right. We need a light kind of around the camera to point directly at us.
Somebody going to look at this video, look at me, man, you're going to see his black sunspot with a red shirt on.
You look good. You can actually have better light than I do. Got a little monitor here I can see. So good luck. You want a microphone. You've got it. You've got your Yeti here. Mm-hmm. And we're testing out a little wireless thing that I bought. Don't assume that the camera on the microphone or the camera on your cell phone is good enough, because it's really not.
Dude, I made that mistake at Monterey Comic Con.
Okay.
Remember the camera?
Oh, that
was my hugest learning experience. I was the sound on this sucks. And it picked up all the background noise, but not the voices
exactly.
I was interviewing. And it was so frustrating. And it was good stuff. It was good content.
But you can't do anything with it.
Right.
It's such exactly. a garbled audio mess. You can't fix it.
I was so upset.
And that's in Hollywood. That's why half the stuff you watch, they've redone it in a sound booth. Because you can't get good audio on a street corner when you're crying in the rain.
Right.
You're going to hear the generators running the lights.
Yeah, for sure.
Camera, all cameras are good at this point. It used to be get a decent camera. All cameras are good at this
right.
point. Get a microphone that you can actually get closer to you and have a little control over. Get a light. And then figure out what your niche is, what your little mm-hmm. – how are you going to micro-focus your content to get your followers?
Right.
Are you only going to make Barbie doll toilet paper holder covers and that's all you're going to crochet in your channel? Then do it and focus on that. And you know what? You're going to find your audience.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm trying to do and focus on with my channel, but also doing something a little bit, because I have another, I guess you say, channel within a channel.
Yeah.
Which is the video podcast, which eventually I'm hoping to blow up, you know, with interviews like this and
sure.
other things I'll do later on, but
yeah, and
also,
collaboration is a big part too, because you're hooking up with someone else who has more numbers than you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
A lot of numbers.
That's.
I hope you like me. really like me.
I hope so. And then you hope that whoever you're talking to isn't such an airhead ditz that he forgets to promote it.
Yeah.
But the cross pollination is a big part of it. That's part of who you know. If you don't know anyone up front, then collaborating with somebody else, even if it's over Skype or some other video chat.
And that's the other part I got to figure out, man. Yeah. I'm finding out, man, I'm not as techy as I thought. I can fix the computer. I can look at it, man. But the tech, I'm learning that there are definitely two things. There is tech.
There's, yeah.
And then there's computers. There's learning how to work computers.
Yes.
And making them work and make them function. But then there's learning about the tech. Where's the software?
Yes. And how to make the software behave. Because that's going to be its own beast.
Oh, my gosh. Bro.
Yes.
And I'm just running Audacity on my stuff right now on a laptop with a Yeti mic. It's been working for me great.
And it will. You know?
And but still, sometimes I'll have some issues with that. And so now that I'm adding the video part, it's like that's a whole other beast I'm going to learn how to
tackle. You still have lots of options for video editing. And you know,
right.
I use the Adobe Creative Suite, but I'm used to it. Right. And I'm okay paying the money because I'm making money. But I wouldn't recommend that right off the bat for a number of people, because there's a huge learning curve if you've never touched it.
Right.
And, you know, it's like, I'm gonna make a Smurf in Maya. Let's just plug Maya in and go. Yeah, no, you're not. You're not gonna make anything for 8 months.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's making quality content.
Making quality content. Providing quality content that your viewer can see and hear. And then whatever the focus is of your show.
Right.
If you want to be a broad shotgun approach, you can do that, but you're going to miss most of the people.
Right.
You know, if you want to focus on I am the Cremation Network, you're gonna get listeners.
Cremation Network, jeez, you know? That's dark. That's like a dark.
Well, no joke. American River College here in Sacramento actually has a mortuary program. It's one of the better ones in the nation. And I have hung out and talked to guys going through the school.
Are you serious?
I am serious. Yeah,
he was fun to talk to. Flesh.
Well, you know, comes back to that. That wasn't it. I mean, he on occasion ran the crematorium, but right. as a student, he would usually go out and pick up the bodies is the right word.
Cadavers, yeah.
Pick up the cadavers. And there was one, you know, doing the joke of, well, I'm going to get in the commuter lane because I got a second person in the car.
Wow.
There's no rule about that having to be breathing.
Yeah, it'll have to be alive.
And there's another point when he suddenly caught himself because he wasn't doing it intentionally. He's in the elevator of a hotel. Right, he's descending to go back to his vehicle. Yeah. He's got a box. In the box, he's got a newborn that didn't make it. So he's carrying this to go back to the mortuary,
right.
And he catches himself humming "Dick in a Box" from Lonely Island. It's like, oh,
wow.
Man, yeah, yeah. Well, you just upgraded to first class to hell. You have fun with that, sir.
Oh my gosh, terrible. Terrible. With a newborn baby, it is obviously dead. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
And, of course, you know, all that is done because he's in the hospital. Other people are in the hospital. You're going to be respectful to everyone.
Right.
They have no idea what he's doing. He's a dude with a box.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Wow. Crazy. Crazy. So, I was saying, too. So, like, I have this little channel within a channel. Why it's called... Behind the Unbox, where it's like an unboxing thing, but it's only I don't go out and buy because I ain't got tons of stuff, but I'll try out certain things. And so, like, for instance, there were these little ear pods that I found out through another YouTuber who actually does an unboxing channel.
Okay.
And his name is escaping me. My son actually knows the guy.
Cool.
It's Unbox Therapy. That's what it was.
Oh, that's fun.
And he opened up these ear pods and they were like only 15 to 17 bucks on Amazon.
Okay.
And I went and bought some and I did an unboxing video of that. And when I first got my Yeti mic, I did a video on that.
Yeah.
When I got my new camera, did the same thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll do stuff like that. And by the way, man, those earphones were legit too. They're comfortable. They was like, man, for 20 bucks?
Yeah. I believe that.
Yeah. I don't need no Beats. Forget that. But so they were really neat. But yeah, I'll do stuff like that. But mostly what, you know, focusing on is the video podcasts and the interviews and, you know, and all kind of issues and just interviewing people. I think that is so important also, learning about people's stories and because that's what the stuff is. I don't want to, you know, pigeonhole it to just one.
Just one thing. Right.
One type of thing.
No.
I want it to be relatable.
And here is I'm telling you to do that. But
well, No. Yeah. But I mean, but I think that's where my niche is. It's, my niche is the people. So anybody that listens to it is going to be able to relate to it somehow. If they can't relate to it, they'll have an idea of what something is about.
Right.
So they don't know a lot about all the Marvel movies or Power Rangers or whatever the case is. They'll listen to my show and be like, okay, that sounded a little ridiculous. I mean, only five-year-olds like that. But I have an idea of what it is now.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, okay, that's what they're talking about.
Exactly.
Good. I don't need to watch it.
Yeah. And then being family-friendly, too, where everybody can listen to it, is a huge thing for me as well. So
I've kind of tried. I might have let a few things out there. But
yeah, it's all good. But that's important. So, yeah. So I know that there's tons of people out there in my situation or a little bit further, who've gotten a little bit further than I have, that could really benefit from this type of information because, you know, usually I found with like a lot of YouTube stars or whatever, they give you this like fake formula, I guess.
Yes.
They're like, hey, yeah, you need this kind of that, and this kind of this, and, you know, do that. And that's all you have to do. And people try it and don't get anywhere, then they get frustrated.
Right.
And they don't continue, they don't keep with the consistency. And that's my issue, consistency.
Consistency, you're just making me think about that. That's the other main thing, consistency.
Yeah.
I'm actually bad at it. The YouTube algorithm, if you want to call it that,
right.
It wants content every week.
Really?
Yeah, and if you can release content at about the same day and about the same time, about every week, the magic algorithm theoretically will start promoting your show better.
Okay.
As a platform that does like having consistent content. And then at the same time, think about your viewers.
Right.
You know, here comes back in the days when we actually had to turn the dial and wait for shows to come on.
Right.
You know, here comes summer. Oh, it's going to be all repeats. I don't have my show on anymore. I don't care. Same thing happens with YouTube. It's Tuesday. Where's the new show? So you want to put something out constantly. Mm-hmm. I will get viewers who will both on my videos as well as directly hit me through social media. It's like, dude, are you okay? There's no video this week.
Oh, wow.
It's like, all right, yeah, I'll get
those
on that.
Those are your real ones, man.
Yeah,
that's good. Those are your loyals.
That's
what I call my fans. I call my fans the loyals.
That's good.
Came up with that.
And it's kind of true. A good problem to have, right?
Right.
Like, if you're actually missing me, it's so I respond. You know,
yeah,
I don't leave them hanging.
Of course.
But, yeah.
Speaking of that, what you call social media following, I listen a lot to Gary Vaynerchuk. And he talked about social media following and how to engage your audience and how to really boost it up.
Right.
And he came up with this thing called the $1.80 strategy, which is,
okay.
He goes, everyone has an opinion. Everybody has their 2 cents that they want to put into something.
Okay.
So his strategy is you go on Instagram, any social media platform, whether it be Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, wherever social media you want.
Yeah. MySpace.
Yeah. If you still got your whole MySpace music set up, this could work. But you go on any one of those. You go to the top posts.
Okay.
And you do 3 meaningful comments for each one on all the top posts, whether it's a heart but at least with each one, do like some kind of comment, but a meaningful comment.
Don't just drop emojis. Yeah.
No happy face, no thumbs up, just a real... some type of comment, and okay. More than 1 to 3 words, you know?
Sure.
You drop that in 3 times for every single post on all the top posts, rounding it out to 180 cents, pretty much.
For your 2 cents worth.
You know,
okay.
Your 2 cents worth.
So you're looking at 90 posts.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you do that every day, it goes up. Let me tell you something, dude. I did that for a week,
uh-huh.
Solid. Yeah.
It works?
It works.
Okay.
It legit works.
This is the first time I've heard of this.
Yeah.
I believe that. But, of course, at the same time with me being like the quiet introvert, believe it or not, that I am, I don't want to go put 90 posts. That sounds like work.
Yeah. But that's the thing, though. It's just like you're saying. It is work.
Right.
You know, and if we, you know, a lot of people worry about me. I'm not a numbers guy. I really don't care. I feel like, and it's not that I don't care. I do care.
You do care, but you're not trying to meet a particular number goal.
Exactly.
You're not being a bean counter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's not like, oh, I got 100,000 followers, so it doesn't matter because I know out of those 100,000 followers, only 20 are really listening to me every single week. You know what
right.
I mean? Or
yes.
Every time I put something out.
Right.
So I care more about those 20 consistent people than I do about, you know, about the 100,000 that I may eventually get.
Right.
As long as I care about the loyals, the consistent ones that
yes,
are always
there.
And so that's why the $1.80 strategy resonated so well with me, because when you're doing that and you're engaging with them, you're using this tool of social media.
And you're being
right?
social.
And you're being social.
Okay.
And you're getting that back in return.
Okay.
Yeah, it takes work, but there's a payoff at the end that comes from it.
Yeah.
You know, so
that makes sense.
I do that with my podcast here, the Stuff Podcast Show. I have another podcast that I do. It's I like tabletop role playing games.
Oh, yeah.
So I have a live play session that I do. And then I also talk about just board games and
cool,
you know, other tabletop games.
Sure.
That are out there.
I love board games.
Fun experience. Yeah, dope, right?
Yeah.
So
Settlers of Catan is the other thing I use my tablet for.
Yeah, see, I need to play that one. Settlers of Catan, you can use your tablet on it. You can play that on a tablet.
Yeah, you can play it on the tablet.
What?
Yeah.
You play it by yourself or you have to be online with other people?
Can I really say I play with myself on my I play by myself with Settlers of Catan on the tablet.
Really? See, I've never
as
played
well as Ticket to Ride, too. So.
See, I never played Settlers of Catan,
okay.
And I know it's one of the most popular.
It's pretty
board games
it's pretty darn
there.
Cool. Yeah.
See, I need to get into that. I need to figure out what that is and play that.
Okay.
See, I like those little little box board game, not board games, but like interactive games, like One Night Werewolf, or
oh, okay.
You know, things like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They come in a little box.
The House of Haunted Hill. And there's like there's a zombie, one of the bunch of little plastic zombies.
Yeah.
Like, one of the reasons I love little games like those little games, and then there's older, bigger ones like Axis and Allies, and even Warhammer 40K, which starts going to huge. You're playing with toys of somebody else, but there's rules.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm a grown man playing with toys, and he's agreeing with me.
That's right.
Exactly. Or actually, most of the time in the game, judges, not agreeing.
We do not care.
No.
That's awesome. But going back to what I was saying, you know, with the whole Instagram thing, I just started the Instagram page for, it's called the Rising Legends Podcast.
Okay.
And so, you know, I started that. I put up the first episode. Well, actually, it's not the first episode. There's like 8 other prior episodes.
Sure.
But one was the first live play episode.
That was something that telling me that I don't do and I should do. You are planning ahead. You've got a number of episodes in the can. So as you're making episodes, if you get sick or you travel, you have content you can put out on a regular basis.
Right.
I'm laying down the track in front of the train while it's coming at me constantly. Yeah. I want a video out next week. I haven't cut foam yet.
Hey, that's when we do our best work.
That's what I keep telling myself.
Across the nation.
I'll sleep when I'm dead. Yeah. It's getting close.
But
anyway, sorry.
But no, it's...
You got 8 episodes.
Yeah, it's cool. It works. And I just started the YouTube. I just started the Instagram page for Rising Legends, and I started doing that $1.80 strategy. I followed 35 people. I'm stopping there. There's those that are exactly within the niche that I'm going to.
You're only following targeted people.
Exactly. You know?
Okay.
So especially those in the tabletop gaming community.
Sure.
Matthew Mercer, you know, all those people. So I did that. But going on everybody else's pages, commenting, liking their stuff.
Okay.
Just implementing that strategy. And already, today I've got about 10 followers already, you know, in the last 2 hours. I literally made the Instagram site 2 hours ago.
Oh, okay.
Slow coming. I wasn't sitting up doing it. I mean, I'm sure if I sat up for hours and hours and did it like you kind of are supposed to do,
right,
I could have way more. Yeah. I know I'm going to do a little bit more tonight. I'm going to do more with the podcast here for the stuff and for the Rising Legends. And, you know, you wake up the next day, you'll have tons of followers. And what's good about the strategy, you get legit followers.
Yes.
You get actual people. Yeah, every once in a while, because it's Instagram, you get that little, you know, spam account.
Right.
Or whatever. But after a while, it whittles itself out, you know.
Sure, because people can tell you're not a bot.
Right.
So they'll actually talk to you. Okay.
Yeah. So, man, definitely something I'd recommend, you know, for that too.
All right. I'm doing some of that because I follow a lot of the other makers and costume and cosplay maker people that I like on social media, but I don't comment as much. I only comment when I feel witty or when I feel, you know, when I feel like I have something to contribute.
Yeah.
I like a lot of things.
Right.
But that's...
Hey, man, you ain't got to have whole conversations either, man. I mean, you just be like, hey, man, that looks cool. That's still you talking and saying something productive about what they're doing. Or even if it's not, you know, saying something, a compliment, if you're looking at something like, wow, that looks like that'll be an interesting reader, or wow, that looks like, that's some interesting foam you're using. Or,
right. What a great technique.
Yeah, whatever. You know, it's cool. And man, with your studio, bro, you could have some sick stories on your Instagram, man.
All right.
I'm telling you, I would just go across that bad boy and just, you know, for the next couple of days, man, I mean, you could really like bring that up. So I know it's worked for me, and I know that if I were to put in, you know, more of the work.
Sure. You're going to get out what you put into it, right?
Yeah. And that's exactly it.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. So super neat, super cool. I appreciate you going over that, though. And, you know, we both help each other.
Yeah.
That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
So, do you watch Game of Thrones?
I do watch Game of Thrones.
You
yes.
do?
I do, and I am currently caught up.
You are currently caught up.
I am currently caught up.
See, I don't watch Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay. In fact, I put on social media only. I made an exclusive social media video for my channel about the newest Game of Thrones prop. I don't know if you've seen what happened because it went all over the internet a couple days ago, but the Queen of Dragons, Daenerys, right. In front of her in one of the tables was what looks like a Starbucks coffee cup.
Right.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. That was all over the internet.
So on all of my social media accounts, you ready, guys? Okay, so I got Instagram, there's Twitter, there's Facebook, and TikTok, all four of them. I put out the new Odin Makes prop, and I set up this whole Game of Thrones looking set, and I just put a coffee cup in the middle of it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I saw on Instagram they had this a Starbucks cup, and it had Daenerys, Quintus, and all her titles.
Her entire title written down the side of it. Those were awesome. I've seen a cartoon one. I've seen one that was actually hand done. Yeah.
That's why I saw the handwritten one. I wonder if somebody really did say that out. They had to. That probably was the most amazing thing. The most amazing thing.
So I actually went to Starbucks to buy a cup because I didn't have one around here. And I went ahead and just gave him my name. But I was half tempted to say, I just wanted to say Daenerys.
Yeah, Daenerys. Like, Daenerys is a big old wicked rose up.
You don't like the Mother of Dragons.
That's a unique name. Is she Swedish? Dutch?
But what's fun is still, they're putting out a cup for Odin, you know?
That is true. That is very true.
Oftentimes, so slight tangent. Let me talk about me for a minute. You go to these fast food restaurants or other places where they're going to call your name when your order is ready. It's like, so what's your name? So I go down there. It's Odin, O-D-I-N, and they'll write it out. By the time it gets to the server and they actually have to announce the name, you can watch them. They'll kind of look at it. They start to mouth the name, try to figure out, look out of one eye. Yeah. And then they go, 82?
82. Man, do not get me started on a Starbucks experience. So my phone is Ian Walker, okay?
Yeah.
Ian is a very simple name. It should be.
Should be. I used to work with an Ian.
Let me tell you something. You know how many times people butcher my dang name?
I believe you.
I-O-N. Ion?
Ion?
Ion? Aaron? 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 I'm like, are you serious right now? And the spelling on the cup is even worse. It's like, do y'all even try?
Right.
Even try? I mean, I already know they're already thrown off by the fact that a black dude is named Ian. We're rare. It's a rare breed.
Sure.
Like, oh. You know,
you're black?
You're black? Funny story. Funny story, really. So I used to work at Wells Fargo. I used to be a banker. And so everybody knows, I don't know if you're a stereotype, but black people have a white people voice that we put on when we're talking professional.
Okay.
So I got on the phone, and I spoke. I was like, hi, this is Ian Walker from Wells Fargo. I'm just reaching out to all of our affluent customers. I'm bringing them in to look over their financial profiles. I want to create a time to meet with you. I'm like, oh, yeah, sure. I'd love to do that. That'd be great. What can I come in? So, you know, I set up the time and everything.
Right.
And they were excited. They were elated, right? So next day they come in and, you know, I dress in suits. I've dressed in suits all my life. It's not a problem. So
It's a suit, fun costume.
Ready to go. Yeah, ready to go. And we do this thing, they would do this thing called stage directing. It's pretty much a customer service tactic that they have.
Okay.
Where they greet you when you come in. You say the customers, you greet them, tell them where they need to go.
Right.
So I was stage directing, waiting for my appointment at the same time to come in. So
okay.
I'm standing there.
So you're being a waiter D, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
And so I'm sitting there waiting for them to come in, and finally they come in. And I say, they're like, hi, how are you? I'm like, hi, I'm doing good. Welcome to Wells Fargo. It's nice to see you. What brings you in today? Oh, we're looking for Ian. I said, oh, great. I'm Ian. Nice to meet you. They're like, wait, no. And the lady says, I swear to gosh, dude, she was like, no, I'm looking for Ian. I'm like, girl, if I were, I almost turned back black for like 15 seconds, man. I was like, are you kidding me right now? I said, yes.
Yeah.
I'm Ian. Nice to meet you. Come on over. We're gonna go over your portfolio. She's like, oh, okay. Her husband, who was standing behind her, turned this dark shade of red. Just like, oh my gosh, my wife was racist. I don't know what he was thinking.
Right.
They just came back and just kind of like the sober, like following him back to the seat. Like they know they messed up. It was funny. So when I see people like that, I'm like, yeah, my name is Ian. They're like, I always get that pause.
Uh huh.
Oh, Ian. And then they follow. Yeah, I know an Ian. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's fine. Good.
Okay. Yeah. I did that too.
But yeah. It's funny. And I'll tell them, I'm like, hey, if you look me up on YouTube, you'll find me, or on Google, you'll probably find me because I'm the only black Ian you'll ever see
right.
on the internet because there ain't many of us. I found like two or three others around
sure.
the world.
I believe you.
Ian Walker's, yeah. So, but when it comes to Starbucks,
I believe you.
Every time I go to Starbucks, so I stop giving my first name. I'm like, nope, Walker.
Okay.
If you mess that up, you're just illiterate. You need to go back to school.
All right.
You need to take advantage of the Starbucks educational program and use that to go to school. Because if you mess up Walker.
Yeah. Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
This was Shemo, a real bro. Honest term even before zombie
yeah,
shows.
That's yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. It gets ridiculous. But anyways, but yeah, back to the Game of Thrones thing. That thing is so hype right now.
Oh, yeah.
It is crazy. And this is the final season?
This is the final season. We're down to the last two episodes. We're like a big part of it.
Wait, the last two episodes? Didn't last it two just episodes. Come back on?
Basically, yeah, there's only six. There's only going to be six for this final season. And most of them are an hour and a half. So they're actually longer episodes,
okay.
too. Yeah.
Okay.
Unfortunately, they're not the best written episodes. This is actually, for being your massive wrap it up, you know, awesome, here's everything coming to a head, they've been kind of weak.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind
of rushed.
Kind of disappointing. Yeah, like it's kind of rushed. Like they're sitting there with their checkbox. Okay, we did that. Okay, we need to do that. All right, we did that.
Really?
Yeah, unfortunately. It's still fun. It's still Game of Thrones. It's not what it should be.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really disappointed.
So you're feeling the same way like I did when Smallville was on. I was a huge
Probably,
fan.
Yeah.
And Smallville for me was.
Oh, that ran for how many seasons?
It ran for 10 years. 10 seasons.
10 years, okay.
That was the longest running, one of the longest running TV shows. Now Supernatural beat it, but
right.
Never watched that show. But Smallville was on, man, season 10, that needs a do-over.
Right.
It was just, and as a huge Superman fan, I was just hurt watching it. I mean, at the end, it was a satisfactory ending, I guess.
So what do you think about Brightburn? I'm sorry, throwing a curveball at you here.
An evil Superboy?
Yes.
Yeah. All about that. Because you always wonder.
Yes.
You always wonder. Like,
so he became a Boy Scout. Good. I'm glad he did.
Right.
Yeah, because nobody could spank that child if he didn't.
Exactly. Brightburn, that movie looks sick.
Yeah.
I want to see that. That movie looks cool.
It does.
Because that is that's something that hasn't been explored. Like you say, somebody's thought it but never actually executed it.
Right.
And Brightburn's kind of like that answer to that. What would happen? Because that's really who it is.
That's absolutely Superman. That's who it is.
That's Superman. But if he was evil and just decided and not rule the world, because that was originally, those of you who don't know Superman, the Kryptonians are a conquering race.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know that.
So he was supposed to be set, well, with Jor-El, you know, to kind of expand Krypton and make, you know, bring Krypton to Earth, pretty much. That's what it was supposed to do.
Oh, interesting.
But, you know, when Krypton died, he's like, well, Krypton's dead too. Earth is my home now, so I'm going to protect it and love it.
Okay.
So, pretty much with Brightburn, I mean, he's not even about conquering. He's just, I'm going to kill everybody. If you disrespect me, you're done.
You're done.
And I'm scaring everybody. I'm way more powerful than you, and it's over. And he's a kid.
Yeah, and I'm 8.
That's even worse.
Right.
It's like, that's scary. You know? Scary stuff. So, that is really intriguing. And James Gunn is behind it.
Right.
And James Gunn, I talked about James Gunn before on my podcast, and the guy is creative.
Oh, he is.
So creative, man.
Yeah. I love where he came from. Trauma?
Trauma.
Trauma Pictures. Toxic Avenger?
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
What?
He's an alumni from that group.
Oh, man. That's cool.
Yes. I'm not sure if you worked on Toxic Avenger movie specifically, but the same people.
Yeah.
That, you know, Surf Nazis Must Die, Sergeant Kabuki Man, all that.
Oh,
that was all
man,
trauma films.
Straight up 80s B movies, dude.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. That is cool. That's dope.
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
Yep, I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
It's like being from the Roger Corman School of Filmmaking, same type of thing. Yeah, not quite. Trauma is a bit more trauma.
Yeah,
but
right, exactly.
But still, no, James Gunn, I really enjoy his stuff. So there was a movie he did in the 90s called The Specials. Super
I've
low
heard
budget.
Of that. Never seen it.
Never
I've
seen
heard
it.
Of
it's
it.
Not easy to find. I've got it. It is dysfunctional superheroes. Uh-huh. So the Specials is the third largest superhero group in the world within the Specials world. And they, within the period of the movie, they're getting a new member whose superpower is she can lay an egg. But as a group, they're getting the highest honor that the superheroes can get. They're getting a toy line. And so they finally go to the unveiling of the toys, and they've totally spun all the characters around. The alien boy is now like the villain of the toy lines, and he looks like a refrigerator. And some other guy is actually looks like a character from Hogan's Heroes, because there's still a lot of figures left over from Hogan's Heroes, right?
Oh, so my
we'll
gosh.
Just repurpose it. It was a fiasco.
That is funny.
And everything falls apart. And of course, at the end, they all come back together and go do their thing. And there's one superhero shot where they actually see their powers at the very end, because there's no budget.
Right.
But it didn't matter. It's a great movie because it's great writing. You know, Rob Lowe is the one member who like turns falls out of loyalty and runs off with the number one group. And Jamie Kennedy's in it.
I didn't define that, dude. Specials.
The specials.
The specials. Like I gotta remember that one. 1995,
96, something like that.
Oh, man, I need to find that. Dude, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, it's a lot of fun.
All right, so on the same vein of superheroes, you know, we got to talk about it.
Okay.
The ban is lifted, so we can talk about it free reign. Have you seen Avengers Endgame?
I have only seen Avengers Endgame three times.
You've only seen it
three only times. Three times. Is that okay?
Well, you're doing better than me. I've only seen it once.
All right.
And I waited to see it until I came into Sacramento because y'all got them crazy movie theaters where you got to look at a movie like this.
Yes.
And I want to do that. So I want to have that experience.
Yes.
So
it's I want to nice see the final battle. Turn your head. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm definitely going to go see it probably tomorrow night.
All right.
Doing the whole
walking around. Yeah.
So. Okay.
Okay.
But you've seen it three times.
I've seen it three times. Howard the Duck is in it.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Which is nice.
And that was cool. It was good to see him again because he was in Guardians of the Galaxy also.
Yes, he was.
Which is neat.
And then the 80s Howard the Duck movie George Lucas did, the nuclear power plant was shot in Rancho Seco, which is here in Sacramento. If you drive,
really?
If you drive up Highway 50 towards El Dorado Hills, so you, as you go through different cities, you'll pass one called Folsom, and you kind of go up a little hill towards El Dorado Hills. If you look to the south when the sun's up, you can still see the cooling towers off in the distance.
Really?
Yeah. They've been dark for 30 years, probably, since 90. So getting close to 30 years. They haven't been running. But that's where they filmed Howard the Duck, the ending for Howard the Duck.
What?
Anyway.
Movie trivia. That's awesome. So
we're talking about Endgame, something more important.
Yeah, right? Let's get back on task, Odin.
Task.
Okay.
Task sounds like
work. Overall thoughts. This movie made Titanic numbers, pun intended.
Yes.
In a weekend, yes. That the actual movie Titanic made its entire run.
Its entire run, exactly. Yeah, it broke the what was the fastest movie to ever break the $1 billion mark. It has the record for pre-sales. Yep. It has the record for trailer views online. It has any record you want to throw at it right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's setting records. Yeah. All of them.
And it's continuing to do so.
Yes. And in a way, it looks like it has its eye on Avatar numbers. It's still a little ways to go. And it could fall off because as an independent movie, it's actually not that good. It doesn't have a full story arc within itself,
right,
which is what a movie is supposed to have.
Supposed to have.
It is chapter 22 of a really big book.
Right. Right.
Which also is what makes it really cool.
Right. Okay, so what were some of your favorite parts?
The bit at the end with all the union logos at the end of the credits.
You're funny, dude.
Thank you. IATSE all the way. Okay. Some of my favorite parts. I love time travel movies. I know it's an overused trope, but I really enjoy them, and I enjoy the what if, and I enjoy the Back to the Future and the things with interacting. I particularly like it when the person doesn't know they've gone back in time. That's more fun usually as a storyline. Right. So seeing Thor go back to Asgard, actually get to see Asgard again. And now you've got, you know, the Thor Lebowski running around trying to hide from his mom.
Thank you. He looked dead on Big Lebowski.
Yes, he did.
I was like, even
Stark says, you move your butt, Lebowski, or whatever it was. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And I said that right before he said he's out. Started laughing so hard. I mean, dead on. It was so funny.
I think the joke I made to my friend in the theater was, man, that hammer really tied the room together.
You know? Right?
But no, him getting the hammer back. And the big payoff, which I know everyone else gets too, I love that Steve Rogers is wielding Mjolnir without a problem.
Oh, my gosh.
Because that was a question.
Now, there's a rumor that says that he was worthy already.
Yes, I remember that rumor. And that he realized it and let go.
Right.
Because he was worthy enough to keep Thor's feelings in mind. Yeah.
Because had he picked that up, because the way his face in Age of Ultron, he's like, he just nudged it, and he's like,
there was that, or the rumor I hear is he also became worthy because after Thanos, I always pronounce his name wrong, beat him down so badly, he still got back up anyway. And that act of, no, I'm still going to get up, got him worthy to defend Asgard.
Huh. Okay.
That was the other theory I heard. That works within the context of the single movie. I like the other one where he's protecting Thor's theme.
Right. Yeah. I do too, personally.
He is a fragile little flower.
He is. Oh, you found out how sensitive he was when he saw. And let me tell you something. I was talking to my friend about this yesterday. It's David Wilson. He has a podcast too. And we were talking about that. Every big man, no matter how old you are, when you see mama, you lose all your feelings. You just show her today. He's like, are you okay? Yes, I'm fine. You're not okay. No, I'm not fine. That was the funniest thing. Because it was so true. I was like, man, mama makes you spill your feelings, everything. Never fails. You can be 40, man. If your mama comes out, ugly face, everything, mouth open, crying, drooling, spit just coming out. I mean, just snotting. I mean, mama do that to you, boy.
Oh,
she does that to you. But my deal with Thor, it was good. I liked it. I understood it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I got it. But at the same time, he's Thor. So, you know, him becoming, again, if spoilers, if you haven't seen it, skip the segment. but, you know, if him being getting big like that, and right. out of everything that he went through, it was just like, man, it was kind of, for me in the back of my mind, it's a little bit disrespectful. It, like, kind of downgraded Thor to me as a hero. As what Thor is. However, at the same time,
right,
I get it.
Right.
Because this dude, he was, I would have to say, out of everybody, he was hit the hardest.
Yeah.
He was hit the hardest. He lost his people. He lost within himself.
Right. He lost his home. His brother. Not just because he was homeless, but physically full on lost the planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, everything.
Right. And then he has this ragtag fleet of the people, the few he could save, run off onto a ship that is immediately attacked by Thanos, who just blows that out of the water. And then you have the group that survives that, and then the snap happens at the end of Infinity War. So half of those guys disappear.
He had 36 people in a fishing town. That's literally what New Asgard was a little tiny fishing town.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And it was like, man.
And they were suspicious as all hell of anybody coming in.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing here? You don't belong.
Right, right.
Don't blame them.
Again, yeah, don't blame them at all. I thought Professor Hulk was amazing.
Yes.
I saw him, honestly, real talk, as great as he was, I saw him as a very cool version of Shrek.
Yep.
He just looked like a big giant Shrek was super cool. But the taco scene was great. You know,
oh, the taco scene was awesome. Yeah. That's an internet meme I've enjoyed is somebody has changed out the Avenge the Fallen posters. They put in a taco.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, there's so much to that movie that was so good. There still were things that I was a little bit disappointed in. But I want to know, was there anything in the movie that you were like, oh, I wish this was done or anything?
Oh, gotcha. Oh, okay. Now I'm going to think about it now.
Yeah,
what was it I was actually kind of disappointed with? What was like, oh, you did that? Well, in a way, okay, I love time travel, but at the same time, oh, you did that. At least they tried to change the rules for time travel, which was okay with me, and I see it a lot in the press. They're not getting it right according to what the characters say, which makes sense that, you know, time is linear. It's always going in one direction. If you go back in time, your present self becomes, you know, is now back in time, and your point of view of future time is your past self because you can't change. So you're not making branches of
you confuse yourself.
My favorite time travel explanation has to be Austin Powers. When he's going to go back in time for the second one, right? The Spy of Shagney. And they're talking about how everything is going, and then his eyes go cross-eyed. And they say, well, don't worry about it. And they look straight at the camera. Just enjoy the show. Don't worry about it. Don't think about it too hard. I'm not sure. I'm not coming up with something specific that I remember coming away from that I was disappointed with. I'm sure there's one scene I can think of that I wasn't really disappointed with.
Right.
But it was like, okay, that seemed a little forced.
You're talking about Black Widow.
No.
Really? Because I thought Black Widow's death was completely unnecessary.
They could have set different characters.
I think Clint should have died. Clint should have been the one to die.
Except Clint had a family that was going to come back.
But that's the thing. What happened as soon as the snap happened? He became a completely different person.
He did.
He became somebody unrecognizable. Even those on the team who saw what he became. Remember, Rhodey said, I don't want to find this dude.
I don't want to find Barton. No.
He almost became a villain. He was a murderer.
You could almost say he snapped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So
fair enough. And that was his argument. But I could see at the same her only family was the Avengers, whereas he actually had kids and a wife and a home life. And I have gotten old enough and gotten one myself at this point that I can actually show appreciation for that. As a young man, I had no appreciation for that. I'm not saying you're a young man, sir. You are a fine, strapping person.
No. I can appreciate that. Coming from a story standpoint, I feel like because of the person that he had become, this would have been a different type of redemption story. And the fact that it's not redemption so as to become the man I used to be or become what everyone thinks I can become, but that, you know what, I became this horrible person. Now, I'm good now. I'm doing good enough, but I'm not good enough for them anymore. I'm not that same person anymore. I can't be that. And I'm ashamed of what I've become because I never would have allowed my kids to go down this road that I have. So I know this is going to work. When I die, you're going to get the Soul Stone. They're going to be back and around. But I don't deserve this. So let me sacrifice myself so that they can have the life. I feel like that would have been much more of a tug and much more acceptable than what they did with Black Widow.
Okay.
And because Black Widow, it's like, when she died, I was like, oh. Okay.
Kind of, yeah.
You know, it was an unnecessary death.
It was an unnecessary death, but at least they kept with the mechanics of how the Soul Stone worked, and you had to give up a soul for a soul. And they didn't bring along Fluffy the Gerbil and just...
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, that would have been terrible. Yeah, that would have been bad. Bring along Squirrel Girl.
Yeah, Squirrel Girl. Oh, man. Yeah, good luck bringing her anywhere.
Yeah, right. But there was that.
So sure. And maybe it was a heavy-handed drama tactic to try and pull something else out with the movie. Mm-hmm. But watching them fight it over, I could see, you know, I voiced it.
Right.
Why? I don't know, maybe I know a lot of the actors are getting done. And although she's going to have her own movie.
Yeah.
But which is kind of funny. But the 2012 Avengers flashbacks, those are all body doubles for Scarlett.
Right. Well, you know what? Well, you're talking about...
At least I think they were. It could be wrong, but you couldn't see her head.
Right. True, but you know, you're talking about Black Widow getting a movie. I think she should get a TV show.
That'd be cool. I'm thrilled Loki's getting a TV show.
Oh, yeah.
But
and wasn't that brilliant how they set that up?
Yes, that was another thing I loved.
With the Tesseract?
Yeah.
Oh,
we have it out. Yes.
Yeah. And I have a different best friend. she is a diehard Loki fan.
Yeah.
When he got killed in Infinity War,
right?
You know, it happened the first 5 minutes of the movie.
Yeah, he was the first.
She got up and was about to leave. I said, no, sit down. She's like, no, I am leaving. She was so angry.
Okay.
She was so angry. So right. Now that she saw angry, she's like, oh, is Loki alive now? I'm like, Yeah, he is. He left. He's got it.
He's got the Tesseract. He's off.
Yep. So the way they set up stuff was so cool. My biggest question, where's Vision?
Well, Vision, just like Gamora, Vision died.
But it's mechanical. Shuri was fixing him, though.
Yeah, I know. I wanted there to be a backup of Vision in the Wakanda drives.
I wanted to see the black and white Vision. You know, the old school. Because I thought that's where they were going to go.
Okay.
With no color, no soul.
Right, no soul. But I was because chameleons and some of the other animals will go all black when they pass away.
Right.
So that worked for me.
That would have been tight. And I would have loved to have seen that.
Yeah.
But we didn't get that.
No,
Now, what about Scarlet Witch almost killing Thanos?
That was awesome.
That was dope.
Yeah, that was dope.
Which tells you a lot about her.
Well, we knew, or at least we should have known, that she was a powerful mutant. Well, she's not a mutant in this show. She's a metahuman. But anyway.
Right. But yeah. That was super cool.
That was super cool.
And Ebony Maw not fired, like you said. Thanos would have been done.
Yeah.
It would have been over. I was disappointed with my Avengers Assemble, though. He was a little quiet on it.
He
whispered it. I told my friend, he's, oh no, that was good. I'm like, no. He just got beat up so much. I said, no, bruh. If I'd have seen all them portals opening up behind me, I'd have been screaming it because I would have known exactly what was going on.
Yeah.
Avengers! I would have just, and everybody would have just came. I think he should have screamed and yelled that to the heights of the height. And so much so that where it kind of make Thanos paused for just a millisecond.
Right.
That would have been so cool.
That would have been cool.
But he all, Avengers, assemble.
Assemble. Yeah.
It's like, for real, dude, nobody heard you in the back.
Well, I thought about that. Yeah.
nobody heard you in the back.
It's like and a couple of heard it kind of proliferated, I guess.
I legit waited 10 years for a whisper. You know, I could do that. I was so sad.
All right.
It was cool. It was still a little bone chilling. I was like, okay, he said it.
It happened.
But not the way that I wanted it to. Okay. Not in that climax. Now, the final battle scene was a great leap forward from the 13 people on the tarmac fighting each other.
Oh, yeah.
Then what we finally got.
The fact that you have this, the ship comes in and blows up the compound to the level it did, and dust stayed in the air for the entire rest of the film. It didn't just settle.
Right.
To the point that, it became a Renaissance painting.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It was awesome.
It was dope.
Now, when the ship fell into the river. Okay, so Doctor Strange sees there's a problem. A missile hits the bank. The river's starting to come into the crater. They're all going to get it washed out. So he's doing the cyclone maneuver to help save everyone. Now you have this ship the size of Long Island that crashes into the river, but it doesn't displace the water. It doesn't splash over the edge of the tub. As soon as it happened, now they're all wet.
Right.
No, it didn't. It was just this quick, like, CG splash, and oh, never mind, you're fine.
Yeah, like, psst.
Yeah.
Oh, water hose.
But, okay. I guess I'll ignore it. Yeah. Yeah, cat sprints, right. Bad Thanos. Put it down.
Hilarious. But
so when you use the Infinity hairball, that'd be lovely.
Now this is one that I get a little flack on. I do not think, as great as the movie was, I still don't think it deserved 3 hours. I still think 3 hours was a bit too long.
It probably could have been shorter.
Yeah.
But, and I agree with what I've seen.
It could have went straight to the point. I think they focused too much on the effect everything he had on the Avengers. They focused on that, I think, for a little too long.
Oh, okay. Maybe.
You know?
I felt it went fine, but I have, I'm a little more old school with my movies.
Okay.
I was okay with it taking its time to show the effects, to show what's going on. Like you're saying, the effect that it had. But you're right. It probably could have gotten, but I felt it was fine. Even seeing it three times,
it
played out fine for me.
And when I see it again, I'll probably have a change of heart. But
maybe.
At the time when I was there, it was just like, okay, well, I don't know. It's a little much.
Okay, yeah.
Well, like I said, I'll probably have a different tune when I go see it again. But and I know there's so much that I probably missed too, because you go there the first time you see it as a fanboy, second time you go there to critique it,
right.
Third time you just go to just kind of just enjoy it.
Right.
So, you know, I still got two more. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Third time, okay, I can go to the bathroom this time.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly, yeah. I know this part. Okay. Yeah, tacos.
Tacos good. No, I wait for tacos.
Right. But
no, the one thing, and this is a dangerous thing to say on the internet, and I know that, and I'm not belittling it for what it was, but what I felt was heavy-handed, what I felt was almost forced, was and it was a great scene, was when all of the female Marvel characters got up at the same time. They all happened to be in exactly the same spot at exactly the same time, and came up, and the whole movie was fan service. And that was a fantastic fan service scene, and I'm actually glad they did it. But at the same time, that took me out of the movie. That became this, oh, this is a corporate decision.
Yeah. You tell. The feminist agenda.
Right. And
but that is the feminist agenda done right.
It was, it was done right. No, it was done right. That's the dangerous thing of saying this. Is I'm going to piss someone off, and I don't want to piss anybody off.
Yeah.
It was because I'm not trying to be this, oh, I didn't belong in the movie. No, it was fine.
That was super cool.
It's just even Gamora popped up in it.
Yeah,
this is 2012 Gamora, 2014 Gamora. She wouldn't have anything to do with any of these people.
Right, it's true.
So it was like, all right, but fine, you know. And then it was over, and it was great, and everyone cheers. And I cheered, and it was good.
Right,
but that was one moment that kind of took me a little bit out of it.
Right.
But at the same time, the other thing every time I've seen it, I've seen the trailer for the new Fast and the Furious presents Ethan Hawke, or what are the guys' names?
Oh, Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Ethan Hawke. Wow. But, you put a whole nother actor in there.
Yeah. But actually, that's the whole point. I've only ever seen the Steve McQueen Fast and the Furious movie. And again, nothing against the movies. It's just I've never gotten around to seeing them. So here's this trailer, and you've got these two guys that are basically superheroes going up against Idris Elba, who calls himself a supervillain.
Right.
He was all this augmentation, having elevator battle fights and everything else. And I'm watching this action-packed, fun, looks like it'd be an enjoyable movie, and all I can think of in the back of my head is, oh, this is how my wife sees Marvel movies. The trailers, because she has no investment with it at all and just doesn't care. It's like, oh, it's another freaking action movie.
Wow. You know what, though? That is a good, different perspective, huh?
Yeah.
Because when I see Hobbs and Shaw, I love The Rock. He's like one of my...
Oh, The Rock is great.
He's awesome.
I know, but the movie's going to be fun. I'm happy to go see it.
Yeah, I'll probably go see it when I have an extra ticket lying around.
Right.
I'm not going to sit there and be like, oh, this is on my movie list.
Exactly. I'm not going to change the channel.
Yeah. And if I happen not to see it and I get it on Redbox, cool.
Yeah.
You know? But, wow, but I never thought of it that way, as the seeing the Hobbs and Shaw is the way other people who aren't invested in the movies like we are.
Like I am. Yeah, the movies that I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
Right. And that was a fun realization.
That. Oh, dude, that's a good point, man. That's a really good point. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Why some people fall asleep? It's my mom.
Yeah.
I love my mom. She falls asleep on all the movies. I took her to see a movie one time. I said, Mama, I ain't taking you to see the movies no more.
Right.
You fall asleep.
You fall asleep. That's a no-no. This is an expensive nap.
Yeah, that's a no-no. There's only been one movie where I fell asleep at.
My dad was super nice. He actually sat down to watch this movie I was raving about when I was younger. So, no, you got to see Akira, Dad. It's a great anime. It's everything else. And he's just watching through it. And at one point, he's like, how much more of this is there? Because what the hell's going on? And it's like, yeah, okay, I get it.
Yeah. My mom fell asleep, man, on, I forget what movie. I think I took her to see Superman, something like that. Man of Steel.
Well, and I don't blame her.
Hey, man.
I'm sorry. I don't like Zack Snyder's movies.
Hey.
He's had some good ones. Dawn of the Dead.
Hey. Man of Steel was great.
Man of Steel was visually appealing.
Man of Steel was great. Henry Cavill walked out of the comic book. Now, Batman vs. Superman, hot trash and garbage.
All right, yeah.
That movie was terrible.
Yep.
And I'm a DC fanboy. I love DC.
Yep.
That movie was trash.
I used to work in a comic shop. I enjoy DC comics. I like Elseworlds comics and Vertigo, and I like a lot of the DC offshoots.
Yes.
And I like some of the anti-heroes in DC.
Right.
But I do enjoy, but yeah, I hear
you. Yeah. Batman Superman was garbage.
Yeah.
It was a trash of a film. But yeah, other Zack Snyder films I'm not a huge fan of. Sucker Punch had no purpose.
Right.
That was just visually appealing. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Zack Snyder's films are visually appealing.
They are.
He's like the darker version of Michael Bay.
Sure. He makes an extremely accurate comic book movie. Watchmen was freaking accurate. Cool. It's like, you know, panel for panel, that's a movie I can fall asleep in.
Yeah.
Which is sad, because that is a visually appealing movie.
Right.
It didn't come through. Zack Snyder, much like George Lucas, needs a secondary director to direct the emotions and the actors.
Zack Snyder. I would rather take Zack Snyder over George Lucas.
Sure.
Lucas doesn't finish what he starts. That's his problem.
Yeah, he made the one quote and then thinks he's got himself an out. I'll agree with that. But both guys need a secondary actor director for the actors, for the story. Because those guys can zero in on the look
Why do you think Wonder Woman was so great? Because that's what he did.
Okay.
Let's just real talk.
Well,
they say he was a producer.
I thought the main director was
Patty Jenkins.
Her. Yeah.
Yeah. But that was a Zack Snyder film. You look at Wonder Woman.
Oh, okay.
That's a Zack Snyder movie.
Fair enough.
I mean, really. All right.
He
was the executive producer on the film. But that was all him, all in that. But it was so good because Patty Jenkins, and that, which proves your point, you're saying.
Okay.
He does need that.
He does.
And Wonder Woman was an amazing film.
And they keep doing it that way. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. What'd you think of Aquaman?
You
have it?
I haven't.
Okay.
So what do I think of Aquaman? He is my favorite character from the Justice League animated series, because that way you had a superhero who was always getting kidnapped and provided the Penelope peril for the rest of the heroes to rescue.
That's jacked up. So disrespectful. So disrespectful. It might be true, but it's very disrespectful. He's a king of Atlantis.
He's a king of Atlantis.
Doesn't matter when he's on land.
Horse.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't matter when he's on land. I'll say this. You will be pleasantly surprised.
Okay, good. I've heard that.
Pleasantly surprised.
Good. I
was pleasantly surprised. I went in there with very low expectations. I was very pleasantly surprised.
Nice.
So.
Good to hear.
Yeah. Okay. And we'll probably wrap it up with this.
Sure.
Joaquin Phoenix as Joker.
Interested.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. I've only seen the trailers.
Uh-oh.
It is a nice spin, and yeah, definitely interested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard he was going to become the Joker, dude. And I was like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I love Joaquin Phoenix. And he's that deep, dark method actor. Heath Ledger played a Joker. He became a method actor when he played Joker.
Oh, yeah.
But Joaquin Phoenix, that is what he is.
Okay.
So to get that perspective and the spin that they're putting on it of the whole mental illness type of thing.
Sure. And I love the fact there's no Batman, right?
No,
it's just, I mean, there
it's
might be
Gotham,
somewhere. It's Gotham.
But it's not. Yeah, no Batman. I'm excited.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see that movie. It's very excited. And I can't wait to see James Gunn's Suicide Squad. That one I would watch. I'm not watching the trash because I hate Jared Leto as the Joker. He's going to be like the Kate Bosworth was of Lois Lane.
Okay.
You know, nobody remembers her as being Lois Lane in Superman Returns.
Okay, yeah, nope.
Like, everyone thinks about Lois Lane that's played. Erica Durance is remembered. Everybody else, Terry Hatcher, you know.
Right.
All them. Kate Bosworth, even mentioned, bro. Yeah. She's garbage. That's going to be Jared Leto. No one's going to remember that. No one's going to care.
No one's going to care, yep.
No one's going to care. And when Joaquin Phoenix says, I'm so excited to see that movie, dude. It's going to be so cool. Anyways, bro, thanks, man, for joining me today.
Hey, you're very welcome.
This was so sick.
Awesome.
Good time. You're welcome. Definitely got to do it again.
All right.
Down the line. So, man, that's it. That's what we're going to wrap up the show with today.
Okay.
Thank you again, Odin, for hanging out with me and doing this awesome podcast.
Oh, you bet. No problem.
I've
had a lot of fun.
All right. So, promote my man, Odin, here. He's got a YouTube channel, Odin Makes. YouTube.com. Check him out. He's got a Patreon page.
I've got a YouTube.
YouTube's all of it.
What does Odin make?
Instagram.
It's like a cooking show, but for cosplay props.
Boom. There it is. So go over there, subscribe, bell icon, you know, all that jazz, and become a patron too. You know, we do this for the love, but love don't pay the bills. Okay. So please help him out. And then for myself, Stuff Podcast Show on Instagram. I am the Stuff Podcast Show at gmail.com. I also the Stuff at IDW on Twitter. Any questions, comments, suggestions, anything that you want to be talked about on the show, shoot me a message. I'd love to hear your ideas and thoughts. But again, thank you so much for listening, And you guys are amazing. Talk to you guys next time. Bye. So that's it for this week's episode of the Stuff Podcast Show. I want to thank you guys so much for listening in and taking the time with me to talk some more about news, entertainment, life, all the different stuff that I usually talk about. You guys are so awesome, so amazing, and I really appreciate you guys. Content is growing on a constant basis, and I would love for you guys to continue spreading the word and participating in the community, the social community that I'm trying to build. I'm over on Facebook, so follow the Facebook group, The Stuff Podcast Show. You can also find me on Twitter, at The Stuff IDW, on Instagram, The Stuff Podcast Show. And you can also send me an email. Give me your feedback on the shows, what you think, any show suggestions, topics, and ideas. You can always send them there, and I'll be sure to read them. And I take these suggestions and read them aloud on the What You Say Breath segment of my show. You can shoot an email to me at thestuffpodcastshow@gmail.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. I appreciate you all very much, and I look forward to chatting and hanging with you guys again next week on The Stuff Podcast Show.